All right, I'm good. It's always good, right, to be with family and friends and loved ones and eat a lot and get gifts. And it's all good stuff. Glad that you're here today. And we're going to, there's a insert in your bulletin, a place for you to take some notes if you'd like to take notes. On the reverse side of that is just a little exercise you could do during the week. We hope that you will use that. Hopefully that will be helpful to you during the week. So that's what that insert's all about. Everybody wearing their new Christmas clothes today? Well, your kids tired of playing with the new gifts already, the new toys? I hope not. I called today's message Comfort and Joy, and thus our first opening hymn this morning. And I'm going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 2. If you want to follow along, they should be up on the screen here for you. And it's about two wonderful people, Simeon and Anna. So let me read a few verses from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22, or the second part of verse 22. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. Those are a good combination, to not only be devout, but to be righteous and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. There was also a prophetess, Anna. And coming up to them, coming up to Joseph and Mary, who were holding Jesus, coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna. You won't see them in any nativity scene. They're not on your Christmas cards. They weren't there the first night with the shepherds. Yet they are very much a part of the infant Jesus and the story of the infant Jesus. They have been waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise, the birth of his Christ, Messiah, Savior. And they got to see him. And not only did they get to see him, but at least in the case of Simeon, they got to hold him in their arms. You know, we dedicate children to the Lord here at the church, as we witnessed last week, as we dedicated Evie Jean. But at the time of Christ, according to the Jewish law, the firstborn was to be presented or dedicated or consecrated to the Lord. Now we don't dedicate just the firstborn, but all the children. Here's the law from Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me." So on that very day that Joseph and Mary took their now six-week-old Jesus to be dedicated to the Lord, and they bring him to the temple, the Holy Spirit at that same time prompts Simeon to be there at the temple. And Anna too, but of course Anna was always at the temple. And Simeon, it says, was waiting for consolation. And it says that Anna was looking forward to the redemption. Waiting, looking forward. Actually, in the Greek language, that's the same word. It means the same thing. Waiting, looking forward. The same Greek word. During Advent, we are waiting, looking forward to this time of Christmas to come. And during that until Christmas gets here, your children are looking forward and waiting, and looking forward for Christmas to come. Like these actual letters I have from children written to Santa Claus. I wanted to share these letters to you to Santa Claus. These are actual letters. Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you. But if you are real hungry, you can use our phone to order pizza to go. Dear Santa, I want a puppy and I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time. Sometimes I'm wild. A four-year-old writes this. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. And one last one. Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Here's my list. An Etch-a-Sketch animator, 2 packs of number 2 pencils, Crayola fat markers, and the big gift, my own color TV. Well, maybe you can drop the pencils. I don't want to be really selfish. Well, waiting for Christmas is over, waiting to open all those gifts under the tree has passed. And now it's the last Sunday of December and the last Sunday of 2015. And we are still waiting and we're still looking forward, but now we're waiting and looking forward to this new year and what this new year might bring. What actually are we waiting for? What are we expecting? What do we look forward to receiving in this new year? I want you to look again at Simeon. What was he waiting for? It says that he was waiting for consolation, comfort. And Anna, what was she looking forward to? It says that she was looking forward to redemption, deliverance, forgiveness. And they found those two things, comfort and forgiveness, in Christ. Comfort and forgiveness. You know, it dawned on me that I think that's what we are looking for in this new year. Those two things. Comfort and forgiveness. What I need you to remember for this new year, when you're seeking those things, waiting for those things, you have to remember that they are going to be found in Christ. So let's look at them just for briefly. Simeon was waiting for comfort. Simeon was waiting for comfort. Things weren't going really well for the nation of Israel during the time of Simeon. People were living in fear under Roman rule and under a cruel king, Herod. Not only that, but they hadn't heard from God in years. Many wondered if the Messiah would ever come. Many wondered, had God abandoned them? Or had God forgotten them? Yet Simeon had hope and anticipation, and for a good reason. He believed the promise of God. And here was the promise that was given to him. In Luke chapter 2, verse 26, it says that it had been revealed to him, to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon was expecting, and he was focused on the comfort that Christ would bring. Among the Jews of Simeon's day, a popular title for the Messiah was Comforter. Simeon knew that, and that's what he was waiting for. He needed comfort, and he was waiting upon this Christ to come, and he was promised that he would see him. Like many of the Christmas songs that we sang, including the one this morning, the longing for a Messiah to come to bring comfort and joy. Those are the things that we are looking for. It strikes me that the desire for comfort is a kind of a universal human need. Because we all struggle with trials and temptations, with loneliness, with loss, with hurt, with emptiness, insecurities, desperation. And the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple courts at just the right time, on just the right day, that Joseph and Mary was bringing the infant, Christ, to the temple. And Simeon was a man that was in tune with the Holy Spirit and was obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, he was there. And what was promised to him, that he would see the Christ before he died, was granted to him. And when Simeon looked at that baby, Jesus, now, like I said, about 6 weeks old, he knew that God's promise had been kept. Here was Emmanuel, God with us, to make everything right. Here was the one. His presence was there. The one who would eliminate rejection, who would eliminate fear, who would eliminate loneliness. Verse 28 tells us that Simeon reached down and he took Jesus out of Mary's arms and he began to praise God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you come to a church to dedicate your child and this weird old man takes your child out of your hands and starts worshiping God? Kelly's saying, yeah, we experienced that last week, actually. But I mean, it'd be kind of weird, right? But that's what Simeon did. And as he broke out into praise, he was acknowledging that God had not only fulfilled his individual promise to Simeon, but also the promises of the prophets over the hundreds of years to send the anointed one, comfort all people. Jesus warned us that in this world there would be trouble. And I wonder what we will face in 2016. The only certainty is the uncertainty of what we will face in 2016. But I can guarantee you this, there will be some trouble along the way. Be some joy too, of course. There will be some trouble along the way in 2016. At the beginning of 2015, I had no idea what I would have to face in that year, in 2015. But I can tell you this from experience. Whatever trouble might come your way this year, God will be in the midst of it with you to comfort you and even give you reason somehow through it to give praise to God. Several scriptures come to mind. I want to just share a few with you. From the Psalms, Psalm 23. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. From Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help us in times of trouble. From Psalm 119, now let your unfailing love comfort me, just as you promised me, your servant. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, I think Pastor Nick quoted it before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. When you're going through it, don't depend on your own understanding, but seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Jesus said to us in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. In 2016, when you find yourself waiting and looking forward to comfort, trust God and don't give up hope. Simeon was waiting for comfort. Anna was waiting for forgiveness. Anna's husband had died, and after he died, she dedicated herself to fasting and praying in the temple. In fact, the Bible says she never left the temple but worshiped there day and night. In other words, whenever the doors of the temple were open, Anna was there. And she was looking forward to the same person, the Christ, God's Christ, same person that Simeon was waiting for, but with a different orientation. She was waiting for redemption, forgiveness. We look at verse 38 again. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. That word redemption is related to captivity. In Anna's day, the Old Testament Passover and the release of Israel from slavery stood as the ultimate redemption and a symbol of God's power to deliver the captives. But Passover was pointing ahead to the day when God would provide deliverance of slavery to sin. Anna was a prophet, not someone who tells the future, but someone who is in God's presence, gets a message from God, and then shares that message with other people. When she would spend time fasting and praying, she would hear from God, and then she would share with other people that message. And when Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God. She began to tell people, Jesus, the Messiah has come, the Savior has come. What we have been waiting for, this redemption that we've been waiting for, at last is here. The one who will save his people from their sins has come. What sin do you need deliverance from? What sin or addiction holds you captive? What do you need to be delivered from? All of us have something that we struggle with, every one of us, to some degree. We are struggling with something. Others have never asked Christ into their lives to forgive their sins. Perhaps this is the year to have a clean slate. Because here's the message that I wanted to share with you today. Jesus provides what you need. Jesus provides what we need. When Jesus came, he provided the very things that Simeon and Anna were waiting for. God's comfort and his forgiveness. Now let me ask you a question. What are you in need of? Whatever it is, Jesus can give it to you. Can you identify with Simeon? Some of you right now are in need of some comfort, consolation. Right now you're feeling lonely or empty or afraid or worried or maxed out or whatever it is. Do you need comfort, consolation, consoling? Do you need a fresh sense of God's presence? If so, you can find what you're looking for in Jesus Christ. He came to console us right where we're at. Or do you identify more with Anna, looking for redemption? Plagued perhaps with guilt or because of something you've done or the way that you've been living your life. Maybe you feel trapped by a certain sin or pattern in your life of sin and can't break out. If you need forgiveness, Jesus can give you forgiveness today. And all you have to do is ask him and believe. And I can think of no better time than before the new year to do just that. So I want to close with just three action steps that you could take that I got from this passage that will help us to experience God's comfort and forgiveness when we're going to need it. The first thing is, be a marveler. I don't even know if that's a word, but here's what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 33. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about Christ, about their child, Jesus. They marveled. To marvel means to admire, means to have admiration for. It means to be amazed in wonder of what God has done and who He is and what He can do. Are you a marveler? Does God amaze you? You ever experience awe, wonder, the greatness of God that just makes your heart want to worship and praise Him? Do you take time to worship God in admiration? Or are you just too caught up and too busy and always running around, always being a human doing instead of a human being? Busy all the time, stressed out with life. Or are you taking the time to find the time, make the time to slow down and be quiet in God's presence and wonder and be amazed? Are you spending adequate time with your Creator, with your Savior? Perhaps are you spending time in His Word? Are you spending time in prayer? Maybe prayer and fasting. In worship and in praise, allowing Him the time so that He can amaze you. Obeying what He is saying that He might amaze you. Obeying His prompting when He tells you to do something that He might amaze you. Has your faith become too predictable, too familiar, that God no longer astonishes you? Be a marveler. Number two, be a mover. Luke chapter 2, verse 27. We read this about Simeon. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts as he was prompted. And then we read in verse 38 about Anna coming up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God. Both Simeon and Anna were movers. They were in tune with the Holy Spirit, under His control, obedient to when He told them to move and what to do, they did it. When He prompted them, they didn't sit still. They moved. And actually, if you think of it, all the characters that are involved with the first Christmas, all of them, except for Herod, were movers. Mary was ready to move. She said, "May it be to me as you have said." She said to the angel, "What you have told me, let it be." She was ready to move. Joseph was a mover when the angels would appear to him in a dream and tell him where to go and what to do. He was ready to move. The shepherds were movers when they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." The wise men were movers. When they saw the star, they moved out to find this newborn king. When God prompts you to do something, do it. It might mean salvation for you. It might mean full surrender to God for you. It might mean God moving you to serve Him, to minister to others that they might find what they need in Christ. He wants you involved in serving people. So do you sense Him asking you to do something today? Are you willing to move? If not, you're going to miss out on some miracles this year. So become a mover. Third, be a messenger. Interestingly, as we work to become marvelers of God, we can't help but become movers as we step out. And then we'll become messengers. Notice verse 38 again. Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all. She became a messenger. To all who were looking forward to redemption of Jerusalem. In 2016, people that you know, family, friends, even strangers, you're going to come across people who are longing, who have this inner search for comfort and for forgiveness. And those things are found in Messiah Jesus, and he wants you to be the messenger to them of where they can find that comfort and joy. God wants each one of us to be his messengers of the comfort and redemption that's in Jesus Christ. And so will you become amazed marvelers and wonder of Christ and astonished by him and movers for the needs of comfort and forgiveness to be met. And then take on your role as messenger and take it seriously. Then we'll be in a position to introduce others to Christ so that they too can find what they're waiting for. The marveler of Christ, move to serve him, and are messengers of his comfort and joy. Let's pray together. You would just take some time, a quiet time. Oh, take advantage of these quiet times. They're so hard to find these days. If you would please stand with me, I just want to close in prayer. There is someone here today who needs comfort. Don't lose faith. Continue to trust God. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't abandoned you. Trust him. When it looks like he's not coming through, continue to trust him and wait upon him. He's going to bring comfort to you. He's going to bring even good out of this situation that you're going through. Don't give up hope. There's someone here today who has heard about Christ. People have told you about Jesus. You've been kind of waiting and fighting, allowing him into your life, allowing him to take over in your life. Or maybe you do believe in him, but you really haven't given him full control of your life. He wants to help you. He wants to be more involved in your life. You have to let him in. Just ask him, Lord, forgive me for what I've been doing. Lord, come into my life. Lord, I want to give my life more fully to you. Take over in my life. Lord, I've been going in the wrong direction. Lord, I want to stay closely connected to you. There's someone here today who needs to be delivered. There's something that you are struggling with. You're trying everything, perhaps on your own. You need Christ. He can help you. You have to trust him. You have to give it over to him. You have to say, Lord, I have no power over this thing. It's arrogant of me to think I'm going to fix it myself and I'm going to get better. Lord, all I can do is trust in your grace. You died for me. Forgive me. Help me. God wants to be your comfort today. God wants to be your redemption today. Trust him. Almighty God, I thank you for meeting with us today. I thank you for speaking to us today. I thank you that everything we need comes from you. And Lord, we're not demanding that you do things how we want it, when we want it. Lord, we're saying we want to trust in you, Lord. You are the Savior. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every person that is here today, each family that is represented by those that are here today. I pray, Lord, that you would stay close to them, that they would know that you love them, that you are the way to help, and they would look to you, Lord. I pray that this week, Lord, we would be marvelers of God and movers when you speak to us and messengers that you could use, you could bring your message to others through us today. this week, Lord. We want to stay close to you this week. So, Lord, I pray that that would happen. And we would come back next week just ready to rejoice out of what we've seen you do in and through us in this week that's coming. We love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. Bless us and as we leave this place, but never your presence. In Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.